Good afternoon. I'm going to call the Tax Committee to order. We have two bills today, and they are Representative Mullery and Dabney, or David, sorry. And Representative Schoen is going to chair the committee today. So with that, Representative Schoen, please join us.
All right, Representative Mullery on House File 37. If somebody would move, we don't have a quorum.
Mr. Chairman,
sorry,
I would be honored to move the Mullery bill.
Mr. Chairman, do we have a quorum?
Not quite yet.
So we can we start to hear the bill before we get a quorum? All right, so go ahead, Representative Mullery, and when we get a quorum, then.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Are you going to rule on the David's motion or not? You're chairing the committee.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. I withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Thank you for the help, Representative Davids. All right, Mr. Mullery, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, and the rest of the committee. This basically is affectionately called the throwback rule. As you probably know, we've been working on turning our income tax on businesses into basically a sales factor rather than the three-factor prong approach we used to have. And I believe Mr. Michael could say for sure, but I think next year is our first year when it'll be all sales, I believe, factor. Isn't this? He's nodding yes. So this affects only the sales factor and how it's treated in situations where at present we don't count the income from businesses, and that's where, or the sales by businesses, and that's when they sell to the federal government or when they sell to a state that doesn't use that sales tax factor in their computations. And I believe that there's about 27 or 28 states that have this throwback rule on that. You have the Department of Revenue's revenue estimate, and it after the it'd be about 87 million roughly in the first year, and a little over 70. I mean, in the first biennium, and a little over 70 million in other bienniums, and basically, businesses just by happening to sell to certain types of parties or in certain states get out of what other businesses are paying here on income tax because of those exemptions, which I'm attempting to close. And it's a pretty simple bill. That's the whole thing.
All right, do we have
I could say one thing more. I believe that this was an exemption way back. I'm told the thought was that it was, at the time it was exempted, that we had several companies whose major efforts were selling to the defense contractor Sperry, Control Data, FMC, and Honeywell, and I believe three of those are gone now, and one is pretty much down to not very much business here. So that's basically the bill. And Mr. Chair, now that Representative Dabney and Davids are here, whoever made the mistake between the two can
thank you, Representative Mullery. So we do have a quorum present, so if somebody had moved the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be very happy to move this bill.
All right, Representative Davids moves House File 37. And is, if with the conclusion of your presentation, Representative Mulleray, does anybody have questions? Representative Runback?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mulleray, or someone who maybe could answer better, how will this affect our export businesses that are selling to South America and Asia and so on? How will that be taxed?
Representative Mulleray.
Mr. Chairman, what's that program where you call a friend or a neighbor? I wouldn't think that would affect this, I don't think, but I know that there's a certain person in the room named Joe Michael who could answer that question.
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Runbeck, I believe in the instance where they're selling to a purchaser who's located in a foreign country, those sales would be thrown back and treated as Minnesota sales because they would not typically be taxable in the state in which they're located. It's a little the language of the bill is taken from the Uniform Act, and it's phrased as to state, but I assume that's not something I've ever looked up, but I'm assuming that's interpreted the same way to refer to sales made to purchasers in foreign countries.
Representative Runbeck?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it sounds like it's a yes. It's going to be treated as a throwback. It will be part of the increase in the corporate taxes paid by we have a growing sector of export businesses in Minnesota, and I think the fourth quarter was the highest number historically we've reached in terms of the total exports, that the Minnesota businesses are doing. So it's an area where we're seeing, a lot of growth. It just seems like this is kind of an odd thing to be imposing on them, that it will stifle some growth. So thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mulleray, do you know of our neighboring states, which one of the, if any of them do a throwback like this, where that if they were to, if a business was to have somebody buy outside of the state, that they would charge a tax for that if that state wasn't charging a tax? Do you have any idea of what our neighbors do at all on this?
Representative Mulleray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. Wisconsin, who's the one we talk about the most as being our competitor, they have this throwback rule. North Dakota has the throwback rule. South Dakota they don't use the sales apportionment factor, so it doesn't apply in South Dakota because they don't use the sales factor. And Iowa, I believe, does not have it. So North Dakota and Wisconsin both have it. Iowa doesn't. And the other one it doesn't apply to.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mulleray. Being new to the Tax Committee, I guess I'm going to ask you a basic question that I don't know the answer to. Is this would this be considered a new tax or a tax increase? I think it's a new tax, but again, I'm not quite sure what the tax is and why we're charging it to Minnesota corporations.
Representative Mulleray.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Barrett, everybody defines new tax and whatever in the way that they want. An exemption sometimes is defined as a new tax or not. We heard on the floor the other night when they were labeled revenue when it was actually, or no, there was a discussion, I guess it was, as to what was spending when it was giving back money on taxes or exempting something. I think what it is it's a tax that somebody had an exemption for, and at least your party's candidate for president said that closing the loopholes was not an increase in tax. Basically, what we're doing is creating a fair playing ground for business in Minnesota and treating them the same way. So I don't think of it that way. Your candidate, Romney, did not consider it to be a new tax. So If we follow his line of thinking, it's certainly not a new tax.
Representative Barrett.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Representative Mullery. I keep who I vote for private, so, you know.
I'm sorry. I think at first, I didn't, the second time, the first time I said your party.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So as it relates to Wisconsin, and, you know, I represent a border community. I think you had mentioned that Wisconsin has this.
Yes.
And we don't.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative Barrett, yes.
So, you know, as I look at Chisago County and how we compete for business with many, many areas, including the Twin Cities, but also Wisconsin, you know, I look at any advantage we currently have, and I want to keep that advantage. So I think if we went to this, I think we would be on par with Wisconsin, but currently we, in one area, we're actually doing better than them, which I'd like to keep. So, you know, Governor Dayton mentioned in his State of the Union address the other night, he kind of joked about it, but it's not a joke for us, that Wisconsin's open for business. You know, there was a representative from Osceola that sent out a letter saying they were open for business. I think that's what Governor Dayton mentioned. The fact is, 17 of the 21 businesses in the Osceola, Wisconsin Industrial Park are former Minnesota companies. That's from the former EDA director for Chisago County, Chris Singh, who had said that. So I want to make clear that we currently have an advantage here that we would be giving up. Is that a fair way to state this?
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair and Representative Barrett, I think every time you argue about closing the loophole, you could say that.
Representative Barrett?
I guess I'm not referring to closing loopholes. I'm referring to this particular bill, well, with all due respect.
And Mr. Representative Chair, Mullery. Representative Barrett, that's what we're doing in this bill, is closing a loophole.
Okay.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering, Representative Mullery, if you have any numbers, or maybe House Research does, on the tax that Wisconsin, North Dakota levy as compared to the one that you're proposing. Are they on a par, the same amount, or is there a fixed tax for this type of business activity?
Well,
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair and Representative Benson, I imagine that's maybe staff would have that, but this affects not a direct tax rate or anything. It affects what you include in the portion of sales that's attributed to their business in Minnesota. And so it's like a, I don't know, what step down in the tax process that this affects. So the final outcome on amounts, I don't know. Maybe they have that information, but I don't know which of you have. Joel has that? Oh.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
The
only reason I...
Benson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, I was told that Mr. Michael has that information.
Okay.
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, I think it might be useful to just explain essentially what's going on here. Basically, all of this relates to calculating the corporate franchise tax that, you know, the common person thinks of as the corporate income tax, but in Minnesota it's called a franchise tax. And that tax is calculated by, we're talking about businesses here, corporations that operate in multiple states. And of course, any state can only tax income that's fairly attributable to that state.
Right.
And so the way states all do that is to use an apportionment formula that says, we're going to look at what proportion of your activity is in our state, and we're going to apply the resulting fraction to your income to determine how much income we're entitled to or have the ability to tax. And in Minnesota, as Representative Mullery indicated, by next year we will be a single sales state, which Iowa also is, and Wisconsin is as well. South Dakota has no tax. North Dakota is a arithmetic apportionment formula state. So what that means is your Minnesota income will be determined by how many dollars of your sales are made to Minnesota purchasers relative to your total sales. So if that fraction is, let's say, 2%, then 2% of your income would be Minnesota income. What right. Representative Mullery's bill does is it says, in determining whether you have a Minnesota sale or not, we're going to say that if that sale is made to either the federal government, where how do you tell what the location of the federal government is? It could be anywhere. We're going to treat that as being sold from where it was sent from, not the purchaser's location, which would mean if you ship to the federal government from Minnesota, that's a Minnesota sale. So that's going to affect that percentage that's used to calculate how much of your income is Minnesota income. The second thing is, if you sell to a purchaser who's located in a state that does not have legal authority to tax you, so let's say you're selling it to a purchaser in New Jersey and you don't have any employees, you don't have any facilities in New Jersey, so New Jersey has no authority to tax you.
Right.
In that case, if you have a throwback rule, the throwback rule says that sale is now a Minnesota sale because we're not going to look where the purchaser is located, but we're going to look where you shipped it from. So that's sort of the explanation of what's going on here. So in comparing Minnesota's tax with Wisconsin and with North Dakota, you have to look at both the kind of apportionment formula that they use. So Wisconsin uses single sales, so that's comparable. But then the third step in this process is you have to apply the tax rate. And, of course, the tax rates vary. Wisconsin uses arithmetic apportionment, so they're looking at do you have employees and do you have property in North Dakota, and they're averaging those equally to determine it. They have a much lower rate. They have a rate that's, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but it's in the range of 5 to 6%. But the fact that they use arithmetic apportionment means that they're going to, for companies that have a lot more facilities and employees in North Dakota, they're going to be taxing it higher. So, for example, in Minnesota, if instead of single sales, if we had arithmetic apportionment, we could cut our rate quite a bit down from the 9.8 to, you know, like 8 or under or something like that. And so it's this complex interaction of all these factors that determines sort of what the you know, the comparable tax rate is. So it's you can't just look at one thing in isolation to determine what the overall impact is.
Representative Benson?
Thank you. So, Mr. Michaels, I just take it one step further. We have the statutory corporate rate, and we have the effective rate here in Minnesota. Would this tax be affected by either of those? And you know, it's getting pretty complex to try to see whether or not, even if we have this throwback, whether we are still have a competitive edge with our neighboring states. I suspect, from what you told us, North Dakota, we would not be, but possibly we might be still in Wisconsin. I don't know if you have an answer for that.
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benson, you know, an effective rate is basically you take the tax paid and you divide it by the income. And, of course, the question is, how do you measure the income? Are you measuring it using arithmetic apportionment or single sales or whatnot? The other thing to keep in mind is this does not affect all businesses. If you have a business that has nexus in every state and does not make sales to the federal government, you can imagine some very large corporations that probably have facilities and employees in every state. This is not going to affect them because they're taxable in every state, could be taxed in every state, so there won't be very many rules, many things that get thrown back into Minnesota. On the other hand, if you're a business that has most of your facilities in Minnesota but makes quite a few sales to states where you don't have facilities or employees, this will affect you more. Or if, in worst case, you're a defense contractor who makes most of your sales to the federal government, all of them that are shipped out of Minnesota will get thrown back into the Minnesota sales factor and will increase, therefore, the amount of income that is attributable to Minnesota. And it could have a very dramatic effect on your effective rate, whereas the other business, you know, that doesn't have, you know, many thrown back, it will have no effect on their effective rate.
Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Muller, you had referred to this as a loophole, and I'm just wondering, do you consider the fact that Minnesotans currently don't pay a sales tax on food and clothing as a loophole?
Representative Muller?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, that's across the board for everybody.
So you're saying that you do feel that as
Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I have never thought about that, but I can see a huge difference between that and the way
Representative
if
Muller.
You tax two companies sitting side by side doing the same thing, but who they sell to, I consider that it can be, yes, definitely a loophole. I haven't thought about the other one.
Thank you, Representative Moore.
I think there's quite a bit of difference.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple questions for Mr. Michael. Mr. Michael, does the Mueller bill affect only C-Corps, or does it also include subchapter S's and LLCs?
Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chairman, it affects anyone that uses the apportionment formula to apportion their income, the main impact of it is for C corps, but there are some instances where it could affect other businesses that have locations in other states and that their income is not allocated. So,
thank you, Mr. Michael. Mr. Chairman,
Representative Davids,
thinking a little bit about what Representative Anderson was talking about, I made the big speeches in previous years about the word loophole. And so my question, Mr. Michael, is if I'm a company, let's say I'm a C-Corp, let's say I'm a subchapter, don't matter, I'm a C-Corp today, and I make sales to a state where I have no nexus, today they wouldn't throw that back. Is that correct?
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davids, correct. So that in that case it would be treated by the apportionment formula as a sale to that other state, not a Minnesota sale.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Michael. So in other words, these companies are doing things that are perfectly legal, abiding by state law. It begs the question, where is the loophole?
Mr. Chairman.
I guess I direct that to Representative Mueller. The companies, we're making it sound like corporations are getting some big tax loophole when they're doing exactly, they're following state law exactly. So I have a real concern about calling this a loophole for business when they're doing everything perfectly legal.
Representative Mueller.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, I'm sure you understand that a loophole is not an illegal thing. If you comply totally with what's in the law, you're complying with the law. It still can be that the law has a loophole in it, both presidential candidates from the two major parties referred to continually almost every day probably during the campaign.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you, Representative Mueller, but if they're doing everything legal by the book the way it's supposed to be, I mean, loophole has a very negative connotation to these big, rich, fat cats are getting rich because they're going through loopholes. Takes a big loophole for me to get through, but I would say, but I get through them. So I guess I'm just having a little trouble with the terminology in committee because loophole, bad, loophole, evil, corporations, evil because they use loopholes. I think what we need to talk about is we're not closing a loophole. What we would be doing is changing the law. And I think that's the terminology we should use. It, you know, your bill wants to change the law, fine. Because what your bill does is it, you know, changes the law to make Minnesota businesses less competitive with other states. But they're not doing anything wrong because they're following the law.
Mr.
Representative Mueller
and Representative Davids, it doesn't make businesses less competitive. It actually evens out the playing field more also for Minnesota businesses within Minnesota. Depending on what you're doing. If you and I have a business sitting next to each other and we're doing the same producing widgets, the same widgets, and you happen to sell more to Wisconsin and I sell more to Minnesota, this is saying treating us the same way. We make the same exact profit on it, then we're going to be treated the same way here.
Well,
Representative Davids,
Chairman and Representative Mueller, that's not quite right because if I happen to have my customers in another state where I have no nexus, by your bill, I'm losing an advantage. That makes me less competitive. because I now have to pay more in taxes than I would under current law. Well, so you're making me less competitive because I don't have my loophole anymore.
Mr. Chairman and
Representative Mullery,
David, it's making you more, it's making me more competitive with you. I'm the one in that's selling to Minnesota residents, so you can't define things one way and not the other way.
Well, Representative Davids?
That's interesting. I think it's good that we get out on the record what this bill would do. Who moved this bill? I forgot to tell you where I'm moving it to. No, I'm sorry. Thank you, Representative Mullery.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Mullery, back to the discussion you had with Representative Davids. You know, I think, you know, you're looking at state versus state, but realize the money from the Wisconsin-Minnesota situation is not going from business to business. The money is going from business to government. So it doesn't affect the, it doesn't, your bill would not even out competition between the businesses. Both are losing propositions for businesses. Well, so I guess I'm wondering, and my question is this, there are obviously two different effects of this bill. One is to increase taxes and increase the revenue to the government by $50 million or $40 million a year, whatever that number is. And the other one is to discourage businesses from operating in Minnesota. So I'm wondering which goal is it that you're trying to achieve here?
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Drazkowski, you've learned from Representative Bisgins to do a good job of creating a thing to go at and not bringing in the whole picture. You can say that you're creating a less competitive business for the business if they're doing it in Wisconsin, but it's more competitive to me if I'm the other business doing the exact same thing, making the same profit, and I sell to Minnesota businesses. So you can't just describe one side of this thing, which you're trying to do.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mullery, what is the goal of the bill? Is it to give the government more money or to chase our businesses out of the state?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Mullery.
Representative Drazkowski, if you want to get into labeling your bills in such a manner, I can do that too. I won't step into that, but that should be withdrawn, that question. Obviously, I am trying to make the things fair for businesses in this state, and I also think that it's unfair to have, I think this is a loophole for some businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mullery, I guess I'd like to go back to my question about whether it's a tax increase or a new tax, because I think, in your case, I think you said it's neither one. It's a loophole we're trying to fix. And if that's true, I guess I want to go back to the use of the word throwback and how if we're throwing revenue back or income back to Minnesota, I don't quite understand that, how a loophole can use the term throwback if and that implies that the revenue was actually somewhere else legitimately and we're throwing it back to Minnesota. That's how I take it. I'm probably wrong, but if you could correct me, I'd appreciate that.
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barrett, I don't think the statute even uses the word throwback, but what we are doing is closing an exemption.
Representative Barrett.
Follow up to that. So, and I'll make this point brief, but the exemption, I think you're implying there's an unfair advantage between Company A in Minnesota and Company B. Company A sells to Minnesota residents. Company B sells to Wisconsin residents. The implication there, obviously, is they're selling the same product and therefore, in fact, in competition with each other. And I would argue that what this really does is it taxes Company B, who is selling widgets to Wisconsin, and whereas Company A is selling toys. they're not in competition. So the fairness really doesn't apply because they're two totally separate companies with a different marketing plan, sales plan, strategy, and goals.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Mueller.
Representative Barrett, you're mischaracterizing. I said if the two companies are exactly the same, selling the same widget for the same price, get the same exact profit, everything is the same. The one company sells more in Wisconsin, one in Minnesota, then there is a disadvantage to the Minnesota company under our tax system.
Representative Barrett.
Thank you. One final question. Can you give me a specific example or examples of where this applies currently in Minnesota?
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair and Representative Barrett, I don't know what companies would fall within this. I haven't gone out and done a study of companies and how much they sell outside of Minnesota with in states that they don't have a nexus. For instance, a Best Buy probably has a nexus in every single state, something like that, I'm guessing.
So then, Mr. Chair,
Representative
Mulery, no company has come to you asking you to do this because they feel they have an unfair advantage over another Minnesota company. Is that true?
Representative Mulery.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barrett, probably. I can't remember one.
Representative Benson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't want to, you know, continue this too long, but, you know, I think it should be said that this is a tax committee, and we shouldn't be fearful about suggesting that maybe we're looking for revenue when we have a $1.1 billion shortfall. But having said that, if we do have two widget companies, one in Minnesota and one in Wisconsin, under the present system, the Wisconsin widget company does not have to pay Minnesota tax, whereas the Minnesota company widget producer does have to pay a tax to Wisconsin. Is that correct? Am I understanding that?
Representative Mueller.
I believe from my understanding of your question, the answer is yes, and I also wanted to say to Mr. Chair, to Representative Barrett, I was first aware of this issue when I was at a national conference on taxes in Washington, D.C., and they talked about the fact of why in the world Minnesota complied with a lot of things, and yet they had they didn't have the throwback rule. And so that's where many years ago where I heard of it.
Representative Benson.
Well, thank you again, and this will be my last one question. But Representative Mulery, would it be fair then to say under the present situation that Minnesota companies, as far as their dealings and selling similar products in Wisconsin, are at a disadvantage with companies that produce similar items in Wisconsin and sell them here? And would it be correct to say then, by not supporting your bill, we would be perpetuating a competitive advantage for the Wisconsin producers?
Representative
Mr. Chair,
Mulery.
Representative Vinson, I think so.
Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mulery. You know, I think it's important to step back and take a look at what's going on with corporate income taxes. I mean, many states and many countries are attempting to lower their corporate income tax. I think, you know, that's sort of the direction things are going. So if we were to, say, try to eliminate the corporate income tax in Minnesota for all businesses, would you call that giving every business a loophole?
Representative Mulery.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that would be a loophole. It would be defined in some other way. But Mr. Chairman and Representative Runbeck, there's a lot, actually, now that I think of it, I have had, for Representative Barrett, I have had discussions with small businesses over this tax, and they just didn't think it was fair, even though they weren't in direct competition with somebody. That I think the ones I talked to weren't in direct competition with somebody that would that benefits from this exemption, but they didn't think it was fair to do this.
Well, again,
Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. In the greater context, I think all of this is about you know, looking at corporations and businesses, and really their major contribution is that they are hiring people, they are providing salaries and wages. And in many ways, the whole idea of a corporate income tax is perhaps unnecessary, but certainly now in the current environment to just add something new. It's very disruptive. We've got a lot of change going on across the country, new taxes everywhere. And you know, here's another wrench you're throwing into the whole works of a company's planning. So, thank you.
Representative Myra. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair and Representative Runbeck, I think completely the opposite. You're making a fairness in the tax situation here, and at the same time, this bill has nothing to do with whether you lower rates or whatever you want to do with corporate tax. And now, I'm sorry.
Representative Myra.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mullery, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you say that the throwback sales rule makes it more fair for businesses?
Did Representative Mullery.
Understand you correctly?
Mr. Chair and Representative Myra, yes.
All right. Mr. Chair,
Representative
Myra. What businesses have come to you and asking for fairness? Have there been any businesses that have called
Chair,
and
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair, Representative Meyer, there's a lot of businesses that have asked me for fairness and treatment under the tax code.
Asking for this.
Representative Myra.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Mr. Chair and Representative Meyer, the same question as Representative Barrett and the same answer, which is I can't remember anyone directly in competition with one of these businesses, but other businesses, when they find out about this rule, have said, yes, that's not fair. If you're a business, they should pay it, too.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. At this point, if we have any public testifiers that want to testify for or in opposition to the bill, please step forward. On the first list, Beth Cadoon.
Cadoon.
And I apologize if I mispronounced that, which is highly likely.
That's right.
Go ahead and state your name for the record. And
thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Beth Cadoon. You did pronounce it correctly. I am here. I'm with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. I'm here to testify in opposition to House File 37. As I've mentioned in previous testimony, we believe that any corporate tax change should really be reviewed to ensure that they advance important tax policy principles of competitiveness, stability, transparency, simplicity, and it will ultimately help grow Minnesota's economy. We do not believe that the creation of this throwback advances these key tax policy principles, and we believe it will undermine competitiveness in Minnesota's long tradition through the enactment of key tax policy decisions to encourage companies to locate and retain corporate headquarters and major facilities in Minnesota, and also to encourage them to be able to do exports both nationally and internationally. The throwback rule, as was mentioned, seeks to require companies to pay tax in Minnesota on income that another state has chosen not to tax or is legally unable to tax. It's really hard to understand the policy reason of why income earned outside of Minnesota should be taxable in Minnesota because the other state where the income is earned did not collect a tax. Minnesota corporate tax should be based on income of a corporation fairly attributable to the activities in Minnesota. We have not heard from any companies within our organization regarding that we need to create a throwback rule for fairness purposes. We haven't had anybody come to us to say to do that. Instead, our policy is to say that we should retain the throwback provision. This change, the throwback has been cited as listed as a positive when comparing Minnesota tax burden competitiveness with other states, as it helps offset some of other Minnesota high taxes and high business costs. This change would also hurt small and mid-sized companies more, as those companies are less apt to have nexus with other states, as was mentioned. So where they sell, so those states would be thrown back to Minnesota and be added to their sales factor, thereby increasing their taxes in Minnesota. As the revenue estimate shows, it shows this would impact about 700 taxpayers in Minnesota by increasing their taxes by about $87 million. We do not believe that the absence of a throwback creates nowhere income. Instead, it is income that is available for payroll, expansions, and dividends, and encourages our companies to be in Minnesota, locate in Minnesota, and be able to sell both nationally and internationally. I'll stand for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Cadoon. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cadoon, can you tell me, you know, what is this going to mean for folks that maybe have been considering moving out of the state? Do you sense that this might remove any incentive to still stay in the state of Minnesota at all? Can you help me out on that? Have you had any conversations with your businesses regarding that fact?
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I have not had conversations regarding what their what results would be of a provision like this. I do know, like you from the revenue estimate, obviously it's going to increase taxes on 700 taxpayers. It will increase their effective rates, and it will make it harder for them to compete in Minnesota. So ultimately what their decisions are, I don't know.
Thank you. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Ms. Cadoon, I was going to ask the question of your thousands of members. Has anyone come and asked you to increase their taxes on themselves? And you had addressed, you had said that nobody has. You know, that this bill, if you look at it, it's basically a job-killing tax bill on the job providers. I just had to say that somehow. So basically, no one, as you said, no one has come to you and said, you know, please do the throwback so I can be taxed more. Is that correct?
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, no company has come to us to say that we need to enact a throwback rule for our fairness reasons. Instead, the policy longstanding within the chamber is to make sure we do not have a throwback rule because it undermines, kind of like I said, the competitiveness and also undermines those key decisions that were made back in like 1973 and again with the single sales factor, which is to make sure that to tax sales that occur in Minnesota and make sure that we're encouraging those companies to be in Minnesota and be able to sell elsewhere.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cadoon.
Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cadoon, according to the, I think it's published by the Tax Foundation, they rank business competitiveness across the country. We are ranked, I think, 45th for business competitiveness. Are you aware of that study, and is that our current rank?
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe that is our current rank, okay. Yes.
Does this bill then?
Representative Barrett.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Cadoon, does this bill then move us more towards the 44th most competitive state, or does it move us backwards towards the 46th best competitive state, in your opinion?
Ms. Cadoon.
Chair, Representative, I would assume because this is increasing our corporate tax burden, that would make us less competitive on national rankings, and depending on what other states do, would probably make us lower our ranking, depending on what other states do, obviously.
Representative Barrett.
One final comment. I guess when I look at that, and I look at all the businesses in my border county, you know, we've called it the throwback rule. I don't think that's fairly descriptive. I think if you look at a business perspective, they might consider this kind of a throw-up rule because I think that's what they do when they look at all these taxes they have to pay compared to the 44 states that are below us in ranking.
Representative Van Zels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifier and the committee, you know, we've been listening to corporations for decades tell us about corporations fleeing Minnesota for low tax, low service states for decades. Every time one of these pieces of legislation comes through the process, that's the hue and cry. We're going to lose jobs and corporations are going to leave Minnesota for low tax and low service states. Specifically to the chamber, you know, you really ought to provide the committee with some information, some data, new corporate startups in Minnesota versus corporations that are fleeing the state, net jobs lost or gained. So we really know what the truth is rather than just these grandiose claims of job losses and corporations fleeing. Every single time a member comes up with a reasonable way to attract additional revenue so we can provide services to the citizens of the state. So would you please provide us with some real numbers?
Ms. Cadoon?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I certainly be happy to provide you with whatever data we have. Also, just want to mention that the Minnesota Chamber also has, as part of it, an organization called Grow Minnesota, where they do work with, they usually go around about 800 businesses every year, not just Minnesota Chamber members. And the goal of those visits are obviously to make sure we could, you know, thank them for being in Minnesota, how we can help them stay and grow here, and then also how we can attract new businesses. And what we hear when we go around the state, and like I said, this is something they do every year, they also then survey those members and others, and we still find that the number one issue that businesses cite as a concern in Minnesota is our high taxes. And if you just look at our corporate rankings, our corporate rate is third highest in the nation at 9.8%. And so when you're making tax changes, I think you do have to be aware of that and also aware of how that impacts us as compared to other states.
Representative Van Zyl.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, well, that anecdotal information that ultimately gets transferred to us as policymakers is fine and is useful, but in comparison to real hard numbers, it pales in comparison. So again, I think the committee should have some real numbers on this topic so we can know what we're talking about.
Representative Drazkowski, and then it'll be Representative Barrett after that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Ms. Cadoon, it appears to me that what this bill does is adds an additional liability to businesses in their ability to operate. There's about Representative Van Zyl's benefit, there's about 165,000 Minnesotans without a job right now, and I'm wondering, would this bill be more likely to grow jobs or to kill jobs?
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, representative, this bill, as the revenue estimate shows, will be increasing taxes by $87 million. As I mentioned, this would income then that would be not able for the corporation that comes back to Minnesota, income they would not have for payrolls, expansion, as well as dividends. And so the impact of jobs, I'm not sure what that would be, but those are incomes that are not available for those other purposes.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Ms. Cadoon, if a business has difficulty operating here, and we're obviously putting more shackles on our businesses with these types of proposals, what is going to be their response? Are they going to, I mean, at some point they're not going to be able to operate here anymore. I would expect at some point some businesses are going to flee. Do you see that happening?
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, Representative, regarding do we see businesses leaving, I think you do. I mean, I'll have to get the data regarding businesses expansion and relocating. We do know that a lot of businesses obviously expand outside of Minnesota as well. Maybe phone a friend here, and maybe we can get Jill Larson to come up as well and see if she can answer some of these questions on more specifics regarding the result of enacting the throwback rule.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I apologize, members. Representative Simonson, I passed over you. My apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and you're doing just a fine job over there. Ms. Cadoon, I got a couple of questions. I've heard the question asked a few times today about giving an example of businesses that have come forward talking about this or asking about this. I'm just going to ask you, can you give me an example of businesses that you represent that we all might know of that would be affected by this change should it be signed into law?
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't have a name at this point that I can share. The revenue estimate does show there's 700 taxpayers that will be impacted, and like I said, we do know a lot of those would be our mid and small size companies, manufacturers probably that are selling outside of Minnesota. But I do not have a specific name to share with you at this point.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simonson.
And to that point, so it would be a fair assumption that none of the businesses that you represent in Minnesota have come forward and asked you to testify against this because it's going to affect them directly?
Ms. Cadoon?
Mr. Chair, Representative, just so you know, too, I just started at the Chamber in October, so I'm not as familiar with all our membership and the long development of this policy. I can probably get you some specific names if you would like and talk to you about that, but certainly this has been our longstanding policy developed through our membership to make to say that we are opposed to the throwback rule because we believe it will undermine Minnesota's competitiveness and is not good tax policy.
Representative Simonson.
And one final point, Mr. Chair, and to that point, and thank you for offering to bring that forward, because I think that would be helpful to have some concrete examples of some businesses that would be affected. But and then also, if you could ask them, those businesses that say that they would be affected by this change, if they're taking advantage of any of the good tax credits or tax programs that are provided by Minnesota law currently, I think that would be also helpful. And one that comes to mind might be the Angel Investor Tax Credit, for example. But as we consider these, I kind of try to look at this in a big picture scope and not focus in on one piece. So that would be helpful. So thank you.
Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to reply to Representative Anzell regarding his need for information, which I think is appropriate, obviously. I think, first of all, we're talking about small and medium-sized businesses. We're not talking about 3M, General Mills, any of those. We're talking about mom-and-pop companies who have really four things to do. They can either grow, and they can grow in Minnesota or grow somewhere else. They can stay the same, they can decline, or they can fold because they're not making money. So we're talking about the small business. Now, I mentioned earlier that 17 of the 21 businesses in the Osceola, Wisconsin Industrial Park are former Minnesota companies. Now, Osceola, for those of you that don't know, is right on the border. It's right on the river. On one side is Wisconsin. On the other side is Minnesota. Okay, up the river is Taylor's Falls. Their industrial park is empty. They're trying to recruit businesses to come to their industrial park. They're right on the border, so they are having a very tough time doing that because Wisconsin has half the corporate property tax rate than we do in Minnesota. So that's extremely extreme disadvantage for them. So I can get you the names of the 17. I can just call former EDA director for Chisago County. I had it at one time. It's probably in my office, but I'll get you the names if you'd like, but they're definitely there. Just a final comment. I grew up actually in South Dakota, Brandon, South Dakota, 10 miles from the border. And back in 85, the charter member of the Brandon Industrial Park was Laverne Truck and Equipment. Now, for those of you that don't know, Laverne, Minnesota is right on the other side of the border. So they figured out they can manufacture trucks and equipment in South Dakota and do it for a lot less money. And they were the charter member of a now thriving Brandon Industrial Park. Now, I need to find out how many Brandon, South Dakota businesses are former Minnesota businesses, but I bet if I did, I have a pretty strong hunch that it would be a large percentage. So that, I don't know, if that probably doesn't give you the direct information you need, but it's the best I can do at this time.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can maybe help out some of the Representative Anzelk and Representative Simonson. I actually had dinner with a fellow last night who makes widgets, and I mentioned this piece of legislation to him, and he said, "You've got to be kidding me." For him personally, as one of those that would be impacted by this, he did not support it. I'm actually trying to get a hold of him to see if he'd give me permission to name his company. But certainly there are folks that are part of Ms. Cadoon's organization that doesn't support this. And I was hoping, Ms. Cadoon, that you could give me a little highlight. I know that you work for businesses, small businesses. That's your job to represent them here at the Capitol. Can you tell me what percentage of them, what is their number one issue of concern? When they have put together their legislative platform, what is their number one concern for this legislative session? Is it tax reform? What tax increases? What is it overall?
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I represent about 2,400 businesses around the state. About 200 of those are manufacturers. For their number one issue, I think the concern is on the tax side this year. Obviously, we want to make sure that we remain competitive. And I think everybody has the same goal, which is how we can make sure we can grow jobs and grow the economy in Minnesota.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Cadoon, well, this actually follows very well on Representative Anderson's question. I wanted to say, is it fair to say that the Chamber opposes any and all increases in business taxes? Or conversely, is there a business tax increase that the Chamber would support? And then, Mr. Chair, I have a follow-up question to that as well.
Ms. Cadoon.
Chair, Representative, for our policy, if you're looking at overall our budget and tax policy, our policy at this point is how you'd solve the current budget deficit is we believe an important thing is to make sure we're focusing on spending reforms as well. We believe you really should focus on that, make sure we're focusing on the cost drivers in the system because we believe that's important to make sure we have fiscal stability going forward. The hope is we can make our systems and spending side more performance-based, focused on outcomes, prioritize, make them more efficient and effective. We believe when you're looking at tax changes that your focus should really be on the structure at this point, to look at the structure and how we can make it more competitive, you know, simplicity, transparent, going forward as well, and ultimately more competitive so we can help grow the economy.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, that was a really long way of saying that, no, the Chamber doesn't support any tax increase on businesses. So I'm glad we got that really clear. The other thing I wanted to ask really was more to Mr. Michael, and that was, Mr. Michael, aren't we talking here about, when we talk about these corporate taxes, aren't we talking about taxes that are on income that's left over after business expenses? So when people, and what I'm getting at here is when people talk about how this is going to stop investment in the company and cut off payroll and all that stuff. Aren't we really talking here about income that's calculated after those kinds of deductions are taken out, or am I mistaken in that?
Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, the corporate franchise tax is a net income tax, so yes, as you said, it's on essentially the profits as defined by the tax code after expenses and depreciation and so forth is allowed.
Representative Liebling.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And then one other question for Ms. Cadoon, and that is I think one of the questions, maybe it was Representative Anderson said, you represent a lot of small businesses. So my question to Ms. Cadoon is, we're talking about the Minnesota Chamber here. Can you tell us what percentage roughly of the Chamber's membership dues come from small companies as opposed to large ones, say people that have less than 50 employees? Can you give us a sense of who is really making up the membership here?
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I do not have that information on how much of our dues. I believe our total membership is about 80% is on your mid and small size businesses.
Mr. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I mean, I'm not really interested in the number of companies because obviously there are a lot more small ones than big ones. But I think that organizations really respond to who's paying the freight. And it's my impression that the Minnesota Chamber tends to represent more the interests of the large corporations than the small ones. But if I'm mistaken, I hope you'll give us some information as Representative Simonson was asking for. Thank you.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I'll throw this to both to Representative Mullery and to Ms. Cadoon if you'd like to respond. I guess I'm just wondering, we can look at this individual proposal sort of on its own, but, you know, the interaction of this with other tax policies, either in existence or proposed, I think is something we try to look at, the interaction in that. So, Representative Mullery, in proposing this, did you look at this in context as well as with what the governor's proposed and how it might interact with maybe the business-to-business sales or other taxes that are under consideration right now?
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Loon, no, I looked at it as a competitiveness on a tax issue, and it's funny because if you take what the chamber says is concerns, simplicity, transparency, when you have an exemption that is very complicated and only applies to some, which I'm trying to close, I'm actually making it more simple and more transparent, so and more competitive to another business doing the exact same thing in Minnesota. But I agree with Representative Loon that everything looks together. And if you look at what the chamber, they come in and they say, well, we want you to do reduce the rate and you can close loopholes and things like that for corporations. That's kind of what we're doing. Now when it comes to individual, then every time you find one, they say they're against that. So they want, what they really want is the rate reduced, but they don't want the other thing that they really claim they do. So you can't complain. I mean, you can't compete with somebody that comes in and says, we want to do this and exchange it for this, but then when you get into specifics on this, those disappear. And another thing, we keep hearing all the talk about that businesses are leaving from this for Minnesota taxes. The facts are that all the studies that show, in fact, in our committee when we've had people come in that weren't coached beforehand, they've said that taxes are not among the top five considerations. Somebody was talking about manufacturing. I happen to be with Hennepin Technical College, and I've met continually with a lot of their manufacturers, and that's not their concern. They're not concerned about the taxes. They're concerned about people being educated well. Education is half of our state budget. So when you're talking about what those manufacturers that talk to me want, it's a really upgraded education because they need that. They can get businesses back if we can produce the people for them to do it. Well, you can't come and say, yeah, I want this, but you're going to pay all out for this, but we're not going to contribute anything to it. And so that's what I hear from people when I'm talking to people who are running growing manufacturing businesses.
Representative Loon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mullery. I'd be interested in knowing the list of manufacturers you speak with, because I have yet to encounter a business, and I have a number of them in my district, that says that taxes are not an issue that, or a factor that they look at, are not in the top five. And, you know, I agree, a well-educated workforce is critical to our economy and how we prepare for the future and have a good workforce, but taxes continues to be raised as a top issue. And the question I was getting at is, you know, if you look at your proposal from a fairness issue, you know, you can't look at it as a singular issue, because again, the governor is proposing business-to-business sales taxes and a number of other issues, and if you add all those together, you know, I think you're looking at a burden that probably far outweighs the proposed reduction in the corporate tax. So you're not really achieving so much fairness as to perhaps, you know, maybe some deck chair juggling. But perhaps Ms. Cadoon could take a crack at that one.
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'm struggling on what question you want answered here, frankly.
Say that the governor's budget isn't good.
Okay, well.
Well, and on that note, members, you know, I think Chair Lincheski pointed this out today. We're not here to debate the governor's budget. So let's do our best to stick to the bill that's on the table here as well.
And I'll just mention, I guess, when you're looking at obviously any tax changes, you also have to look at the interplay and look at our tax system, whatever it comes up with, in a totality. And it is important. Other factors are important to businesses. Obviously, a skilled workforce is critical. Infrastructure as well. But we have to be clear, we are a high-cost state when it comes to business issues and other labor issues, and that needs to be taken into consideration on how we're changing our competitiveness when we make these tax changes.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the testifiers. And just maybe for Mr. Michael, just to clarify in my own mind, so this proposal, we keep talking about the corporate, but if you are organized as an S corporation and pay your taxes under the personal rates, would this also affect your company or no?
Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Loon, yes, if you're a multi-state business and you have business income that you apportion, it will affect you as well. I mean, in general, most most pass-through entities don't have much. I mean, most of them are not apportioning large amounts of income, so it's really important. This is largely a C corporation issue.
Okay,
Representative Lewin.
Thank you. But to clarify, so if you are you're located in Minnesota as an S corporation, and you happen to start doing some sales in another state that does not collect tax on that, you under this provision, it is possible that you would have to pay under this throwback provision under your personal tax rate. Is that,
Mr. Mike?
Did I hear that correctly?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Loon, under most circumstances, you're going to be paying income on tax on all of your income anyway. It's only if you, yeah, I think that's, but yes, if you're apportioning income, this will affect you.
Thank you.
Representative Garofalo.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate you bringing up the governor's budget. I wanted to talk about that for a little bit. No, Mr. Chairman and Representative Mullery, are you familiar with the changes that we've made over the last couple of years in the single sales factor apportionment? Are you familiar with those changes in law?
Representative Mullery. Representative Garofalo, I was on this tax committee for 10 years, and yes, I heard it from when Ron Abrams first started, and I remember arguing with him and then being convinced with him to go partway there. I don't happen to particularly agree with the single, going down to the single, but I think he was right in general that we needed to go to that. So I'm very familiar with all of that, and that's why I said at the beginning my understanding was that I wasn't sure if it was next year or the following year when we hit 100%, but
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mullery, and yeah, you know, the single sales factor changes we made on a bipartisan basis to phase it out to 100%, it's a complex tax policy issue, but it basically can be summarized like this. As we said, it made no sense as a state to punish businesses purely because they have payroll and property located in our state. It was dumb tax policy. And so we moved to a single sales factor on a bipartisan basis. It couldn't have happened without DFL support. Republicans and Democrats worked together because it was smart. It helped out businesses. It creates jobs, keeps money in our state. And so this maneuver, this policy that you're bringing forward today, it essentially does the exact opposite. It says if you're located in this state, we're going to hit you. If you're not located in this state, we're not going to hit you. Now, explain to me what's wrong with my logic there, because on one hand, we're saying we want to incentivize property and employment in our state, and your policy disincentivizes property and employment in our state. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Representative Mullery.
As Representative Benson pointed out, who's sitting next to you, maybe you can explain to him what you explained to the whole committee before. I also said that there's an issue of competitiveness between if I sell to Minnesota residents and Representative Carlson has the exact same business and sells to Wisconsin. We've gone over that several times, Representative Garofalo, and you can mischaracterize it, but that's a fact.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Garofalo.
Representative Mullery, I think exports are good for Minnesota. I think exports are how we're going to grow our economy. So I view it as a competitiveness issue, you bet. Because I don't want Minnesota businesses just selling to the 5.3 million people in our state. I want them selling to the 6 billion people on this planet. That's how we're going to grow high-end jobs in the state. And the reality is, if you look at Minnesota, the last 2 years, we have filled up the budget reserves. We paid off hundreds of millions of dollars that were owed to our schools. And we've had unemployment fall at a faster rate than the nation. I mean, things are working in our state right now. Things are going in the right direction. And so I understand why Representative Davids, Representative Anderson, and me, why we get upset about this stuff, but, you know, the reality is elections matter. They have consequences. Representative Van Zels, Representative Liebling, you guys are going to do what you want. You shouldn't fear our ideas or our commentary. You don't, Republicans, hey, this car is careening down the hill with no brakes. We can't do anything. It's entirely up to you guys. So I just want your personal guarantee that if this bill is enacted, Mr. Chairman, that if this bill is enacted, we're not going to see a deficit in this state in November and next February. I just want your personal guarantee. Can you offer that to me, Representative Mullery?
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, I don't even consider that a question.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. Well, I think that a far superior strategy to attacking the private sector that is too big, in your opinion, and rewarding a public sector that is too small, I think a far better way to do this is to grow revenue and grow jobs. I think it's a superior strategy, and it's been proven to work. But I get it. You know, we both our sides went to the voters last year. We made the case, and you guys won. We lost. And so I encourage you to embrace your viewpoint, embrace your progressive perspective, that you're going to grow government, have it take a more activist role in Minnesota society, that you're going to constrict the private sector in a more fair and equitable distribution, seize the levers of production in the private sector, Representative Anzels, and transfer those over to the public sector. Because you know what? We're going to find out. Whether I like it or not, we're going to find out just what you guys really want to believe in. And I look forward to coming back next session and finding out why all these proposals you guys are going to enact are Republicans' fault. That's the argument I'm looking forward to.
Representative Simonson.
I'm going to pass, Mr. Chair. Thanks.
Smart guy.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple points here quickly. When I first took over as tax chair 2 years ago, I had a bill that I put in to phase out the corporate income tax. I had somebody schedule a meeting with me. It's usually a group that they represent the poor, and they usually come in and are upset with me and yell at me and things like that. And they came in to say that they supported the bill to phase out the corporate income tax. And I was kind of stunned, and I said, usually if somebody supports me, I don't say why. But I said, why? What, you never support anything I do. Why are you supporting phasing it? This is a group that represented poor folks. Why are you supporting me? He said, because the corporate income tax is one of the most regressive taxes there is. So what your proposal would do is increase the corporate income tax for sales made where you don't have a nexus in a certain state. It's going to increase it by, what's the number, $90 million. So it's coming from somewhere, whatever the number is. And so what we're doing is we're creating a very, very regressive tax and hurting the poorest of the poor. Now, going back to a question, Ms. Cadoon, you said that I believe 80% of your members are considered small businesses.
Ms. Cadoon.
Mr. Chair, yes, small and mid-sized businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to make a comment for the committee, just a disclaimer here. I'm a member of the chamber. I am the largest member of the chamber in my city. Right up there at 3M, or right up there somewhere. But as a small business, I feel very well represented by your association. I just want you to know that. I don't feel like it's the 3Ms and Best Buy running the show. I think that you take input from all small businesses, such as myself, and you know, craft your policies you know, in that way. So, and also, Representative Mullery, you mentioned that your bill makes it more simple, transparent. You forgot one thing, and more expensive. And also, when you said that the top five issues of the business you're talking to, taxes don't even show up. Every business I talk to, it's the number one issue. I want to grow jobs in Minnesota, and the number one impediment to doing that is our tax rates in many different areas. So let's just remember that when we go after corporations, corporate tax rate, very regressive, hopefully we can work from that point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Mullery.
Okay, just looking at the clock, I do want to ask, are there other members of the public that want to testify to this bill before we... and if Representative Pepin or Liebling will get to your questions, let's let her go since we're getting that close, and then we'll ask Ms. Cadoon to come back up if she will when those questions are directed to her. But go ahead and state your name and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Jill Larson with the Minnesota Business Partnership. And a lot of what I was going to talk about has already been said, so I'll try to cut it short. I appreciate Mr. Michael's kind of backgrounder on how we got to this point in terms of the corporate tax and the apportionment formula. I think that's really important to keep in mind. Apportionment formulas can affect a state's competitiveness, and that is the main reason why back in 2005 this legislature, or the legislature that was here in 2005, did decide on a bipartisan basis to move toward 100% sales apportionment, the so-called single sales. And it's because it's essentially an economic development tool that a lot of states use. We were not the first. In fact, there were a lot of states that got there before us, and we were frankly trying to catch up. But the old apportionment formula, still in existence, we're almost to 100%, did essentially almost penalize or create a disincentive for a company to add employees here or expand their facilities here, because when they did, it actually increased their corporate tax liability. It was a real perverse incentive. And so we've moved toward 100% sales on a bipartisan basis. I think President Lucheski actually authored the bill. And it's been something that's been agreed upon for years. And I truly believe that a throwback rule essentially undoes single sales. And as was mentioned earlier by Mr. Michael, a lot of my members are the larger members. They most likely will have nexus in all these other states, so they may not be affected by this. Some will. But we still think it's bad policy. And there are those two scenarios that I just want to give that I think are examples folks should think about. We've talked about exports. I know the governor has talked a lot about wanting to increase exports from Minnesota. I mean, that's good for Minnesota businesses. It's good for Minnesota as a state to increase exports. But if you've got a small or mid-sized business that's located here now, employees, and they're trying to sell their goods outside of the state to a state that maybe doesn't have a corporate tax, or they don't have nexus there, they don't have employees in this other state, they don't have facilities, a throwback rule would basically make them pay more corporate income tax just for being headquartered here. So it appears to me that it's sort of a no-win for those companies. If they increase their exports to try to build their business, maybe hire some more people, they're penalized. And if they do it anyway and actually continue to export those goods, they're penalized by paying more corporate tax here. Another example that hasn't been talked about much is, my understanding is the bill would now, sales to the federal government would now be thrown back to Minnesota. Now, we've got a growing robotics industry in Minnesota. And my understanding is a lot of those companies sell to the federal government. I don't know if many of you were here last year, the year before, where a rep came in and showed that little robot thing that the government throws into places so the robot can go in and check buildings so personnel don't have to go in. That was created by a Minnesota company. And my understanding is those kinds of technologies are being sold to the federal government, the Department of Defense, for example. Those sales now would be thrown back to Minnesota, and those companies would have higher Minnesota corporate income tax liability because of this bill. Again, seems to me to be a disincentive to be based here, because if they move to a state that doesn't have a throwback rule, that won't happen. They won't be taxed on those sales to the Department of Defense. So appreciate the discussion about trying to make this more fair. We feel like it makes it less fair for Minnesota-based companies, and so that's why we're opposing the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Larson. And I believe Mary O'Connor. Ms. O'Connor, if you just state your name for the record and go ahead and begin.
My name is Mary O'Connor. I'm from Brooklyn Center. Mr. Chair and representatives, I agree with Representative Mullery that corporate taxes should be fair. Next year, 2014, the property and payroll portion of corporate taxes will go away if the company has sales in Minnesota. So they could have a big presence in Minnesota with property and employees, but if they have small sales, they're going to pay a small corporate tax. That's not fair. And I do think that if a company sells to a government, that shouldn't reduce the amount of corporate taxes they pay. Doesn't matter if you sell to a government or to an individual or to a business. If you make that sale in Minnesota, why shouldn't they pay corporate taxes on that? I think we've seen here today how complicated Minnesota corporate taxes are, and I've got a suggestion for a simpler corporate tax, and I'd like it to be handed out to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Connor. And you can give your handout to one of the pages, and we'll get that disseminated. All right. So back, Representative Pepin. Are there any other members of the public?
Mr. Chairman, just to be clear, you should probably take a look at the document before it's disseminated to the committee. Usually the chair will Okay. Take a look at, or someone.
Go ahead and give it to Representative Lencheski.
Just a not that, Mr. Chairman. Not that there would be anything.
Thank you, Representative Grafflo. I do appreciate that you've been a guiding light for me. All right.
Oh boy.
My condolences.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mueller. I've just kind of been listening. I'm new to the Tax Committee. But a few years ago, the Small Business Caucus of the House came to my district. They went around in some districts and hosted some meetings and invited businesses. I had many, many business. Former Representative Dietrich was one of the members there. I remember him, Representative Zellers, and some others. And the meeting was held at K Manufacturing, one of the businesses that that I represent, a manufacturing company. And they have many times talked to me about taxes being one of the biggest, if not the biggest, concern. And earlier you'd mentioned that you said something about the manufacturers that you've talked to haven't said that taxes is even one of the top five concerns, I think you said, or at least one of the top concerns. You can quote me. I know you said it wasn't the top concern. Maybe you, I thought you said not even in the top five of concerns. And earlier Representative Ann Zells and Representative Simonson asked Ms. Cadoon to bring some I guess proof or some facts to that, and I named one of my constituents. I can name a couple others: Roy C, Decimate Sales. All of these small businesses have told me that taxes are really a problem. But you've said that it's several of the manufacturers that you know said it's not amongst taxes are not amongst the top concerns. And I'm wondering if you would be willing to bring the committee a list of manufacturing companies who don't feel that the taxes are a problem.
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin. What I said about the top five was actual testimony in this committee by manufacturers before when I asked the question. So there would be a record in this committee of witnesses that were brought in by the chamber or some business organization, and in answer to my question said no, they're not in the top five. So I've also seen studies that show that. I didn't say the ones that I was talking to. The ones I was talking to have said that high quality employees is the absolute most important to them. A number of them have referenced regulations. When I'm talking to them, I have not gone down and said, where do you rank each thing? They really stress the investment, as she said, in infrastructure. The employee situation is they also reference, some of them reference, wage rates in Minnesota are higher, but do we want to cut what people in Minnesota make? Minnesotans are very good workers, and they also make a pretty good salary in return for it, which I think is a good situation.
Thank you. Representative Mullery, if you could bring some specifics, because I find that very hard to believe based on the businesses in my community, and I've named at least three of them. I guess I just have a comment. Representative Mullery, you're going to be making some money if this bill passes. And I think Representative Ansel has talked about wanting to spend more money for services in the state of Minnesota. But I would suggest that you save just a little bit of money, because maybe Representative Simonson remembers this. About 20 years ago, I was in college in Duluth, and one of the billboards, Representative Anderson was there at the time, maybe she remembers this sign, there was a billboard that said, because I believe it was because of the population in Duluth and some economic development problems and whatnot, that said, with the last one out of the city, please turn out the lights. So my suggestion to you is that if this is actually signed into law, along with some of Governor Dayton's other really bad tax proposals, job-killing tax proposals, Representative Davids? I would suggest that you save enough money so that you can put billboards around the borders of the state that say, with the last business out, please turn out the lights.
Representative Liebling, you're going to have the last question here, and we are going to get to Representative David's bill.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and actually it's more of a comment, and it fits kind of right in. First of all, I wanted to, when I raised my hand when Representative Loon made a comment about, or asked the question about, how does this fit with the governor's budget? And I know we're not discussing the governor's budget today, but I think that question really displays a misunderstanding of what we're doing here, because we're not here to take the governor's budget whole hog and then tack on some things onto it. We're a legislature. We're going to put together a tax proposal, and we're going to take the governor's ideas, as he's invited us to do, and vet them. And he's been very open about that, that his proposal simply starts a conversation. So I think it's totally irrelevant how this would fit together with the governor's proposal, because clearly that's not the way this is all going to work. Secondly, I just want to go back to, you know, some more comments were made. We constantly hear this refrain about, oh, how well the budget, how well the state did the last couple of years, as though austerity grows economies. And we know that austerity does not grow the economy. The governor said this, and we just know it isn't true. I mean, going back to Herbert Hoover, we can see that austerity does not grow the economy. So along with this, the, what I consider the kind of ridiculous phrase, job-killing taxes, you know, that everybody's so tired of hearing, and the kinds of comments that were being made by Representative Garofalo, I mean, I think that's why Minnesotans put us in charge, because they got sick of that kind of rhetoric. They don't want to hear this anymore. They want to hear, actually, people trying to figure things out and get down to work. And sure, some particular tax proposal might have an effect we don't want to have, and that's why we're here to vet them. But to just be against all taxes because they're all job-killing, well, the voters in my district were told that many, many, many times with a lot of chamber PAC money, and they rejected that, Representative Garofalo. And they don't, I think they didn't appreciate the rhetoric or the effort. And so thank goodness elections do matter.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, but Representative Lee, I mean,
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I mean, to my friend from Rochester, I mean, I don't know what factors you would determine as being successful in the state of Minnesota. We just laid out, it's bipartisan, factual basis, it's used by nonpartisan research, that we've filled the budget reserves when you drained them in the majority, we paid back hundreds of millions of dollars owed to schools when you borrowed the money from the schools, and Representative, we took the nation's unemployment rate, compared it to Minnesota's unemployment rate, we grew jobs faster in the state of Minnesota. Those are not in dispute. Everyone agrees to them, Representative. And so to say that, well, austerity doesn't work. We can't possibly spend less money. Well, let me tell you, Representative, we can't just suck money endlessly out of the private sector and put it into government. Our president just raised taxes by a whole bunch. And I told people in Minnesota this wasn't going to be the rich, but, you know, you guys sold them that, and they bought it. That's their problem if they don't get math. But the middle class just got whacked with a huge tax increase. A family of four making 50 grand, just over the poverty line, $1,000 payroll tax increase. And now we've got proposals to raise property taxes, additional sales taxes, additional income taxes, and a regressive tax. The corporate tax is an insanely regressive tax. And you want to hit them for that. Representative Liebling, you're not trying to hit the richer business. You're trying to hit the middle class because that's where the money is. And every single time you guys come here, you try pulling this maneuver. It's just businesses. It's just rich. No, it's not. You believe in bigger government and more services and an expanded entitlement state. That's what you believe, Representative. Embrace it. You know, and again, you shouldn't be upset with me. Be upset with your DFL colleagues. Representative Zellers and I and Representative Pepin, we can't stop nothing of what you're going to do. So embrace it. Run with it. Talk about the need for the proletariat to rise up and seize the masses of production. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, Mr. Chair, I need to respond to that.
Mr. Chair, I have a bill up.
Yeah. Right. So, okay, we're on halftime here for just a second. Can I get a motion on the minutes? Thank you. The minutes are moved. Representative Liebling, and we will not be doing the Representative David's bill at
yeah,
this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just, first of all, thank you, Representative Garofalo, because you reminded me of something I did want to say, which is that, of course, the entire economy in the country got better. And when we look around, and I wish I had the figures with me, but almost every state is doing a whole lot better than they were 2 years ago. So really, I think that we've seen constantly that the Republican majority wants to take credit for what's probably more attributable to the things that President Obama did than anything you did here. But, you know, just the kind of rhetoric that we just heard and the kind of overstatement, Minnesotans are really sick of that stuff. I think they really are. And the misinformation, too, and the whole thing about how President Obama just raised the payroll tax. Obviously, he had cut the payroll tax, and it just went back to its previous level. So, I mean, this kind of stuff, when he cut taxes, you never heard from Republicans that he had cut taxes. I mean, it's the stuff that gets said and the rhetoric that flies around is so not consistent with the fact.
Mr. Chairman, could we talk about the bill before us?
Agreed, Representative Davis.
Can't talk about the governor's budget. We sure can't.
If you could wrap up, Representative Liebling.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just think, you know, Minnesotans are tired of this. They want us to work out a fair budget proposal. Obviously, people can disagree around the edges, but this sort of rhetoric about, you know, this suggestion about, you know, big nefarious things, and I think it's Minnesotans are sick of that, and I'm kind of sick of it too.
Thank you, members, and
I wish you was
thank you, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that House File 37 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus tax bill.
All right, the chair. Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair, while I was listening to this entertaining debate, which had nothing to do with the bill, and I'd forgotten that what tax committee was like for 10 years, that it was more like campaign speeches at party conventions or something like that. But I was counting quickly as fast as I could, and what the Republicans see as this horrible black cloud that's going to destroy Minnesota because it's this Democratic proposal, actually a majority of the states that have the throwback rule are Republican.
Thank you. And so the bill is laid over for possible inclusion.
You got to vote on it.
All those members.
You don't?
No.
You don't vote. Thank you.
Then I didn't lose the motion.
All right. No further discussion. This meeting is adjourned.